Well, let's look at Romans chapter 10. And let's look at verses 8 through 10. We're talking about right and wrong thinking. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, our minds, our thinking. And I want to look at this because your thinking will ultimately affect your speech or your saying. So Romans chapter 10, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So what we believe is the result of our thinking, what we think. If we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. We just know that. If you think wrong, you believe wrong. You can think about your own personal life, things that you thought a certain way may have been that you believed something incorrectly, and it was based on your thinking. So if our believing is wrong, our confession, what we say, will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. So it all hinges on your sayings. So let's take a look at Mark 11. Let's back up and let's go to Mark 11, 23. And we're familiar with this scripture verse in Mark 11. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Doesn't say you'll have whatsoever you believeth. It says whatsoever you saith. And what does that mean? You're doubting not in your heart, but believing that the things that you say will come to pass. You will have whatsoever you saith. This is what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5. She believed something that Jesus said, and she began to say. And it says she kept saying, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." She had to be persuaded in the society she lived. If she was out in society, unclean, they had a right to kill her, to stone her. So she had to be persuaded, because she was taking her life in her hands. So you can see here with the saying, it as Brother Hagin said, it was revealed to him, and we can see it in the scripture. Believing is in this scripture verse once, and saying is three times. So there's a lot that is shared on the subject of believing, but when it comes to saying, that sometimes it's not taught as much. And your saying is has a direct effect on what you think. I'm saying your thinking has a direct effect on what you're saying. So then that means that thinking, our mind, is key here, isn't it? What we think is going to affect what we believe, and what we believe is going to affect what we say. So when you look at that verse, it says, if you believe in your heart and do what? Doubt not, then you'll have what you say. Or you believe the things that you say. So let me share another scripture here. These are all scriptures that talk about the mind. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." Or you could say, lean not unto your mind. Right? 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations," or reasonings, "and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity," what? "Every thought," something that's in the mind, right? to the obedience of Christ. Romans 12:2. And be, so what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So we can see that transformation comes about by what? The renewing of your mind. So transformation, or that word actually in the Greek means metamorphou. It just means that there's a transformation, like a butterfly changes from this caterpillar, metamorphosizes into a caterpillar or a butterfly. That transformation takes place by, in this case, he said, just like that, the transformation in us takes place by the renewing of our minds. It's key here. So that what? You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's another scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 2:16. But who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So you can see here, the only way we can have the mind of Christ is by what? By studying the Word of God. That's the only way we can have it. Let me look at a couple of scriptures. I'm just going to run down these. These are the types of minds that one can have. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Not that we have these, but you can see the variations that it talks about, the various types of mind that the scripture talks about. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And this is talking about, talking about those who change the truth of God into a lie and worship to serve the creature more than others and so forth. And says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use, that which was against nature, and so forth. And it goes on. But in verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to what? A reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. So God calls that, or it says, a mind void of judgment. That's what a reprobate mind is, a mind void of judgment. Romans chapter 8, let's take a look over there. Another familiar scripture verse. It talks about the carnal mind. So we have a reprobate mind, we have a carnal mind, and this is what it says here, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So carnally minded just means to mean that means that you're earthly minded. You're not spiritually minded. You don't have your mind on the things of God, on the Word of God. That's what that means. We're living our lives based on what we can see, what we can feel, what we can taste and touch, not based on, what does it say? We live by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. So if we're not living by faith, that's carnal. It just is. And we've all been there. I mean, it doesn't mean we're all, we've all missed it in some ways, right? That's just what that means. Romans chapter 15. Let me take a look over there. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 6. Back and look at verse 5. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, say like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with what? One mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to be like-minded. We're to have one mind and one mouth. Here's some other scriptures here. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? Of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. But you can see here, it said here that we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's a carnal mind, is it not? That's a carnal mind. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 21. And it says, and you, he's talking about, you know, he was talking to the Colossians, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by what? Wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled. Hallelujah. And there's so many others. I mean, you can look here in Colossians, look at chapter 3, and look at verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, and what? Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Look at Titus. Look at Titus chapter 1. And look at verse 15. This is an interesting scripture here. It says, unto the pure, Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and what? Unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? So the Bible's got a lot to say about the mind. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. 1 Peter 3:8, just one another scripture. I mean, we have others, but you can do that on your own. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. First Peter chapter 3, verse 8, says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. But it just says, be ye all of one mind. Because if you're of one mind, we can look at the Tower of Babel. They were of one mind and what? One speech. So when we're of one mind, we'll be of one speech. There'll be no division among us. We'll have one heart, right? Here's some other scriptures. Let's look over. I'm thinking about Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Talking about what we think on, our minds. But look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious or worrisome for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think. Think on these things. Think on these things. We're talking about what? The mind. What you think on. What you think on is going to affect your heart. What affects your heart, you're going to focus on. You're going to fixate on. That's why it says, think on these things. Think on these things. Don't be concerned. Don't be anxious for these things that you're faced with. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Deacon Shira, you can turn that back on again. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you do what? Ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the what? In the same mind and in the same judgment. See, remember we got to, over there, it said that a reprobate mind was void of judgment. This says here that you speak the same thing, there be no divisions, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. If you're perfectly joined together, there's no division. And we're not void of judgment. We have the right mind. We have the mind of Christ, right? Isn't that good? I think that's good. Here's another scripture, 2 Corinthians 13. Let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 13. I'm just highlighting these because we're going to jump over to something. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 10. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians here. He said, therefore, I write these things, 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, this is finally here. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of what? Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So we're to be of one mind, one speech, no divisions, have humbleness of mind, right? And so this thinking, think on these things, whatever is lovely, true, a good report, we're to think on those things. And so when we do, then it's going to affect our believing. It's going to affect another thing it's going to affect. He said what? There be no divisions. That means we're going to have fellowship, perfect fellowship with one another, right? And that's where I think the devil fights the hardest. He fights in this area of our thinking so that there isn't perfect harmony among the believers, among the churches. See, he fights in this area of the thoughts so that we, you know, sometimes may not have humbleness of mind towards one another. They did this. I'm not going to do this, right? So the devil fights because he knows there's strength in unity. He knows that. So thoughts can come into our minds from two places, and we know this. The devil can put thoughts in our minds, which are from where? The outside. And then God, who lives in us, he can give us thoughts that come from where? Our spirit is the candle of the Lord. He searcheth all the inward parts of the belly. He gives us thoughts that come into our spirit and then come to our mind. So from the inside, God will give us thoughts, and from the outside, the devil will try to give us thoughts. So the more we fellowship in the Word, the more we fellowship with God, then we're able to determine where these thoughts are coming from. We're able to say, oh no, I know who that is. I'm not accepting that. I'm not going to yield to that. I begin to know who is the source of this thought that's coming. I'm going to be able to weigh that and judge it. See, that's what we were talking about. A person that has a reprobate mind is void of what? Judgment. So they can't judge whether it's from God or the devil. They're just yielding to their flesh and yielding to these thoughts. They're not really sure. Well, they're void of judgment. That means they're not. This is what when you read in Romans, what it say in Romans chapter 1? It said that they didn't want to retain God in their thinking. Isn't that what it said? Who changed the truth. Where did it say? In verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So they weren't even pursuing God. They didn't want nothing to do with him. So now that they're perfect game for the devil. They're void of determining or judging whether this is coming from the devil or whether this is coming from God. They're void of judgment. And this says here, a reprobate mind. Well, God is saying, Paul is saying, we should have the mind of Christ. Right? We should be able to be as it said here in 1 Corinthians, speak the same thing so that there be what? No divisions among you. We all want to speak the same thing. It says, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So that's why when we go back to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this transformation that's going to allow us to walk in perfect harmony with others is going to come from a renewed mind. And that's the Word of God that's going to change my thinking about people. It's going to cause me and help me to see people as God sees them. That's how that's going to help that. So those are just some scriptures on the mind. But it's key. And then one other scripture here we're familiar with, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we know this, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and what? A sound mind. We don't have a carnal mind. We don't have a reprobate mind. We have a sound mind because we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So when we talk about confessing or saying, it's a direct effect on what we believe. And so just as when we talk about believing with the heart, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for healing, whether it's for baptism of the Holy Spirit, believing is key. It's the only way you're going to receive anything from God. Believing from your heart is the only way you're going to receive something from God other than the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's the other way you can receive, but the primary way, the primary way that we receive from God is according to my faith, faith in God. Hallelujah. So faith, I said this before in the other class, there is no faith without confession. There is no faith without confession. What do I mean by that? It says faith without works, faith without a corresponding action is dead. Faith is an act. Faith acts. If you believe something and you are persuaded of something, you are convinced, you're confident of something, then that means you act on what you believe. And every single one of us know that. You book a flight to go somewhere, you don't say, well, I sure hope I get there. I purchase the ticket, I believe I'm going, and I show up, I get on the plane or the train or the boat, and I'm going somewhere because I purchased it. I believe by faith this ticket means something. I'm going to show up, and I'm getting on whatever I'm getting on, right? There's an action. And the same thing, if I believe God's word to the degree that I believe it, if I'm persuaded, then I speak it. So that's what we're saying. There is no faith without confession. There is no faith. You can believe, but if you don't say what you believe, then it's not faith. Because faith acts. It acts. So another thing, when we talk about confessing something or saying something, it sets or it determines a direction. What you say determines a direction. I'm going here. This sets a direction, and it sets a goal, or you could say a landmark. It sets something. We are going to this place. We are going to do this. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. It set a direction. It set a goal, and it set a landmark. This is what we're doing. So you cannot receive unless you believe God with the right kind of thinking. You got to have the right kind of thinking. So let's think about this. There's a couple of stories here. Let's look at Numbers. Let's look at the book of Numbers. And we know this familiar story, chapter 13 and verse 30. we'll just highlight not this story, but another one. What about, in this particular story, Numbers chapter 13, and we know the story that 12 were sent in to spy out the land. And there were 12 that went. And what happened? 10 came back with a bad report. And what happened here? You can see here there were 12 spies that fixed a landmark with their confession. What did they say? We can't do this. So they determined something by their confession. They saw something, and in their minds, they said, we can't do this. And they began to say it. They said what they believed. And yet, God said, I've given you the land. Go in and take it. So two did not have that confession. Two did not have that belief. They had a different report. So it's important what you think. So let's look at verse 30. It says, and Caleb, we're talking about Joshua and Caleb. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And you know what's interesting here? You know, when we look at this story, God doesn't have favorites. He didn't like and favor Joshua and Caleb any more than his people from Israel. He didn't favor them anymore. So they could have all, if they all had one mind and one speech, they all could have gone in and taken the land and benefited. But otherwise, what did they do? They had to wander for 40 years. How would you like to have been Joshua and Caleb? You know, you complain about going to your job for 10 years. How about being with a bunch of unbelievers and unbelieving people for 40 years? Every day, every hour, week after week, year after year, 1 year goes by, 5 years go by, 10 years go by, 15 years go by, still listen to the same drip, drip, drip. 20 years go by, 25, 30, 35, 40 years of this. And Joshua and Caleb still said, "We can let's take this. Let's do it." After 40 years. That's something. So he didn't have any favorites. He said, "You're well able to possess it." And so actually, when you look at the story, it says, and they brought up verse 32. Let's look at it, verse 31. It says, "But the men that went up with him," meaning Caleb, "said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land, though, through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.'" So now all of a sudden they're affected by what they see, right? Their thinking has been changed. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were, not in their own sight, in our own sight, as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So they determined something by their thinking. They thought they couldn't, and they didn't. So it's important that whatever God has charged you or shown you in his word, revealed to you, and you believe that, don't get off it. I don't care how long it takes. They had 40 years of waiting to go into the promised land and took it. So whatever God has promised you in his word, this is what we're talking about. He has redeemed us. He's redeemed us with his blood. He has purchased us with his own blood. We've been delivered out of the hand of the enemy. And so I'm free, and you might say, "Well, I don't feel free." This is what they're saying. God said you can take it, but boy, it don't look that way. If he says you're free, then you're free. If he says you're healed, then you are healed. I remember Brother Hagin shared a story one time. I was just thinking of this. He said Jesus had appeared to him, and he said something to him to the effect of, "You know, I know you said that, but..." And he said, Jesus said, "I said such and such." I don't know, I remember the whole story, but he said to him, "Lord, I know you said that, but..." And he said, "I said this." And then Brother Hagin didn't catch on. He said, "I know you said that, Lord, but..." And he said that went on three times. He said the third time, he said it was like fire shot out of Jesus' eyes. And he was bold, and he said, "I said, you are such and such." And he said, "Okay, I got it. So what the Lord says in his word is so. He is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, he is faithful that promised. He cannot lie. And Titus, he can't lie. If he said it, it's so. This is what he was saying to the Israelites. You are well able to take it. Go in and possess the land. And they began to lean on what they saw instead of the God they served. Instead of trusting in the Lord in all their ways, they leaned to their own understanding. And he didn't direct their ways. He didn't direct their paths. He said, okay, go ahead. You'll wander for 40 years because you didn't trust me. So that's the thinking. We have to just keep in mind that when we're confronted with issues in life, what does the word say? What does it say? The renewing of my mind will transform me and how I address this. What does the word say? What does it say? Then that's it. Then that's so. And don't try to figure out the direction. I'm confessing the word. I'm acknowledging him in all my ways. He will direct my path. He will direct me as to what I should do. And so that's the point here. They fail to enter into the promised land because of their what? Their unbelief. Their believing was wrong. And their believing is wrong because their thinking was wrong. Their thinking was off. And they had gotten away from... Here's something... Let's turn over and just finish with this over in Hebrews chapter 3. Just finish with this here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. That's why the devil fights so hard for us to release words with our mouth. Because he knows it's our faith speaking. And he wants you to get you in doubt and unbelief and fear. He doesn't want you to speak. Speak the word of God. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will do what? Hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the where? The wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. So he's talking about this group right here that we just got done reading about, right? But what does he continue saying here? When your fathers, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was what? Grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil what? Heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of what? Unbelief. This word unbelief in the Greek, a definition can be failure to be persuaded. But that's pretty strong. So it says here that you have an evil heart of unbelief. It can mean a failure to be persuaded. Unbelief. So when you're when you have a failure to be persuaded of something, that's an evil heart. You're not persuaded of something. Faith means if I'm in faith, I am convinced, I am persuaded of something. I am persuaded of something God has said to me, whether he's revealed something to me or something that I see in his word, revealed in his word. I am convinced. Faith is the substance, and being persuaded is not a desire. Faith is the substance of something hoped for, the evidence of something not seen. So faith or persuasion or being persuaded of something gives substance to something I desire. I read something in the Word, I desire that I have money to meet these obligations that I have. And I read something in the Word of God and I am persuaded that the money is going to meet that need. I'm convinced of it. And if we're not persuaded, then you can get persuaded. By what? Transforming, changing your mind. Because when your mind gets persuaded of something, it affects your heart. And when your mind and your heart are affected, it'll cause your speech to change. Right? And that's just exactly what we read in James when it talks about, or it actually, let me just read that here as we get ready to close. But James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, it's just talking about wisdom, but we could insert something else in there. We could insert healing. If any man lack healing, let him do what? Let him ask of God. If anybody lacks money, let him ask of God. If any man lacks peace, let him ask of God, right? That does what? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that does what? Wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man do what? Think. Talking about the mind. Think. That he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a what? A double-minded man or person is unstable in all their ways. So what does that mean? Double-minded, that means options. It means A and B. There isn't an A and B with God. It's one way. It's his will. That's it. He says, it's this way. This is my will. So when we're persuaded, we don't have to make choices, do we? We don't have to consider option B or plan B. We don't have to. God's given us his will. When I'm persuaded, that's it. My mind is changed, transformed, my heart's affected, and then I begin to change my speech, right? This is what we're talking about between the right and wrong thinking. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody get anything? I know you all got right minds, so anyways, just some of us need some help. You know what I mean? Some of us need some help so we can get our minds renewed and changed. Just some of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that our minds are being renewed. They're being washed. They're being transformed. And we thank you that we're being transformed to think like you, to speak like you, to believe. And we thank you for it, Father, that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we thank you that we endeavor to please you. So thank you, Father, for the word working in us, changing us and transforming our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.